Welcome to the Mother Love Podcast. This is Claire Larson, your host, and this project was made possible because of the support of Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies, the Montana Coalition. Mother Love was created to promote healing, connection, and shared wisdom through stories. Like any given day spent parenting, each episode brings a balance of tears, laughter, wonder, and surrender. When it comes to parenting, no one should go it alone. On Mother Love, we see you, we hear you, we're in this together. Hi, Mother Love listeners. It's Claire, and I got to come to Bozeman today to talk to Suzanne Bendick, who is the leader and boss of Roots Family Collaborative. And I'm a huge fan of Roots, and I have been since I started at Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies for a lot of reasons. We'll talk about them today, but hello, Suzanne.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm really excited to talk to you. And maybe we can just start with you telling listeners who might not know about Roots, what Roots is, what you guys do in the community. Just describe a little bit about your role.
Okay. Awesome. So Roots Family Collaborative is a nonprofit. We're actually just entering our sixth year as an incorporated organization here in Bozeman. And our mission is to connect families to the support they need from pregnancy through the postpartum period. And so we do that in a variety of ways. We offer support groups for new moms, new dads, for families who've experienced loss. Mm-hmm. We have a group in the summer called Fresh Air Families to get folks outside and connecting together in this place we call home. We also put together an annual resource guide, providers that families may need access to during that time from pregnancy through the postpartum time, early parenting, really. Folks that are in there everywhere from massage therapy to mental health, OBGYNs, acupuncture, yoga, support groups, you name it. If providers have contact with parents, they're in there. So we do that. It's a big part of our work. And then we also put on a signature event every year called Moms Like Me, which is one of our favorite times. And it happens at least the last 2 years on Mother's Day weekend to celebrate moms.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Roots in a little nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And I think one of the things that I think is most special about Roots is that I grew up in Kalispell. I had my first baby in Missoula, had my second baby in Helena. And there were so many days in early motherhood that I needed help and needed support, but I was afraid to ask for it, didn't know where to go, all these things. And I remember thinking, like, I can't be the only mom who's going through this. But like, what is everyone doing? I don't know. And I'm so tired that I can't even think about like trying to solve that problem. And so I wished that something like Roots existed. And, you know, I didn't back then. I just wished I would survive. But now looking back, like, I know that that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. And so working at Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies, where we often have like a wider lens and we're looking statewide, since I've known of Roots, I've been like, if we could just have a Roots
everywhere,
everywhere in every community, mm-hmm. that would be so incredibly helpful, and I believe would like shift things in huge ways. Yeah. And so when I was talking to Bree about this interview yesterday, and we were thinking like, what do we really want to know? let's get to the bottom of what we really would like to talk about. And we both are just astounded that like you had that same sense, but because of things that happened in the community, it was like you couldn't not do anything anymore. And so will you just talk a little bit about the story of that time of new motherhood for you and how this vision kind of came and unfolded?
Yeah. And timely, because my firstborn turns 13 in a month.
Oh my God.
In March. So as I approach her birthday, always reflect back on that time in my life. And I think we only have like an hour to do this podcast, but I have a lot of things I could say about new motherhood.
That's why we have editing opportunities. So we'll just go with it.
When my daughter was born, I felt I was very ready and had all the tools that I needed to be a good mom. And when she came, I really kind of got knocked on my ass and spent a lot of nights maybe feeling similar to you in what you shared just a bit ago. Like, what have I done? How do I do this? I'm not cut out for this, especially in the night when my daughter wouldn't sleep, when breastfeeding was really challenging, when I wanted to basically put her outside in the snow and walk away from it all. It was a really challenging time for me. I had my own mom come for 7 days because I felt like that would be an appropriate amount of time for me to learn how to be a mom. And I thought, okay, 7 days postpartum, I got this.
1 week. That's all I need.
Plenty of time. Yeah. And that really wasn't the case. So I spent the first, 6-9 months really questioning my ability to be a mom. Looking back on it, I think it was that feeling of knowing that people had been experiencing motherhood forever that kind of kept me going. Mm-hmm. I was an anthropology major in college and really probably when my daughter was 9 months old, I sort of came out of like a postpartum fog, if you will.
Yeah.
Things started to just come together a little at a time at that point, and I realized that I wanted to do something to help support other moms in that place. And the things that I wanted to support them in were like very practical, sort of like humble tasks of daily living,
Like
watering plants and walking dogs and all of those things that I felt were impossible feats for me as a new mom, which I was like, how is this possible? Like people like live on farms and like.
Right. And when you start like failing, I'm putting that in air quotes, you start not being able to meet those things that used to be simple tasks, it like adds to this feeling of like, oh my God, like why can't I even do this thing that used to be so easy for me?
Yes.
Like what's happening to my life? And for me during that time, like you described, it was like all those same thoughts of like, what have I done? Oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? Like not cut out for this. I think that's a common like ticker tape of thoughts that goes through our minds. But I just remember the feeling, like the really, really scary feeling of like everything I know up until this point about dealing with challenges and like overcoming them is not applying.
No.
And I don't know why, but like that feeling to me was really scary because I was like, now I don't have anything to call on to get me through this. And so like you said, it felt like one foot in front of the other. And like, I remember waking up and being like, okay, just brush your teeth.
Yes. One thing.
Yeah.
Just one thing. Yep. I had a friend at that time who's an artist and he didn't have kids. He does not have kids. And I remember him, I guess like really, he was really listening to me kind of lamenting on all of these things and motherhood being hard and like having a family. And he was like, just try to check off one thing, just one thing. Like you don't need a to-do list that's a mile long, just one thing, even if it's just brushing your teeth today.
Yeah.
And, but I would be like, okay. And then I'd be like, but just brushing my teeth, like that's not enough.
Yeah.
And so then I decided that I wanted to be some type of like mom assistant.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I landed. And I started like doing all this research, like mother's assistant and personal assistant to mom. And then I came across a postpartum doula and I'd never heard of that before.
It's basically like a fairy godmother in Cinderella. Like you're, wait, what?
Yeah. I was like, that exists. I need that. I needed that.
Totally.
I still need that actually because postpartum doulas are incredible. Yeah. And so I went down that path and got trained as a postpartum doula and also as a certified lactation counselor because breastfeeding had been a huge challenge for me and was probably the main reason for my downward spiral.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So in doing all of those trainings to help other people, I was learning about helping myself.
Yep.
And so I'm not afraid to say that this journey has been a personal one for me too. Even now in the work that I do, like behind the desk at Roots and in group at Roots, is also filling me on a personal level.
So, same. Yeah. Yeah. And I can't think of a better way to do work.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but like I work from my heart, but at the same time, the passion and motivation that comes when you know you're helping people in places where you've been is just like,
yes,
unrivaled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is in that feeling of kind of flipping the script for ourselves. And for me, it has felt like turning my pain mm-hmm. into purpose.
Totally.
And that's been really important for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Did you do your postpartum doula training here in Bozeman?
No, I did it through an online group. It's called Birth Arts International.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I did all of my coursework online, and then I did my like hours with families here in Bozeman.
Yeah. That's awesome. So let's talk about that. Like suddenly you're like, okay, now I'm going to go to school.
I'm going to go back to, I'm going to be in school and I'm going to have a kid at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because you were having your second, is that what you mean?
No, my daughter was still, she was probably like 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for those people listening, doing anything, school, work, anything outside of like your mothering tasks is so challenging. Mm-hmm. But also felt really important for me.
Yeah.
And kind of like climbing out of this hole that I had been in.
Totally.
In her early life. And it gave me a lot of strength in pursuing something. And at the time feeling like I'm not just a mom.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I get that.
Which was a hard place for me. So I went back. I got my training as a doula, a postpartum doula. I never did birth doula work.
Mm-hmm.
And my certified lactation counseling training I did. And then I started working as a doula with a toddler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about this before.
And she would go with me on my back. And I would navigate my stuff with her on my back and her squirming around and begging for things and me trying to hold it together.
Which is like so funny to think about because it's like you needed a toddler doula while you were being a postpartum doula.
Yes.
So that, and that is like when we think of villages, right? Like that's why that worked.
Yes.
Because there's like
there's lots
backup
of people
at every stage.
That's right.
But yeah, that must have been really intense.
Yeah, it was. But it felt so good to me to be able to do that and to offer, I guess, my wisdom around my experience in a gentle way with new moms and to be there and sit with them and listen and cry with them and hear their story and fold their laundry and draw them a bath. And so it felt really good. And I guess kind of sort of playing out a lot of the things that I needed.
Yeah. It's sort of like doing inner child work.
It absolutely is.
But like in a very recent amount of time, you know, you go back and think, what would I have needed that day?
Yes.
Like,
and you know, as human beings, we're like in touch with each other's energy. And so being in the space where a mom moved from feeling fairly agitated or anxious into a more settled place, I too felt that, you know, and picked up on that and was able to like hold that feeling as I came home to my daughter, into my family and with my husband and everything.
Yeah. So, like it was me chills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so beautiful. And I can see how that would have felt like medicine for what you were going through.
Yes, definitely.
And what's cool about that is like when you talk about an energetic like reciprocation, probably the mom that you were helping could feel that it was helping you to help.
Absolutely.
And then it's like everybody wins. It's one of those scenarios where it's like everyone wins. And just like the practical things are so helpful, but even just having a compassionate, empathetic person to, like you said, to just talk to and tell your story to, like I remember part of that fog being just holding it all within my own being and not knowing. And like my husband at the time, like I couldn't tell him because he wanted to understand, but really couldn't. And like the way that time sort of like consumes you while your partner is at work living like this, like quote unquote normal life. Mm. And you're like, my sense of time got very warped and very just like blurry. Mm-hmm. And then like, it was like, and then he would come home at the same time and like was doing the same things and had a pretty like routine existence going. Mm-hmm. And that is really hard to try to describe. Like that's a big discrepancy.
Yes.
And gap to try to be like, you're the person I need to understand. And there's no way you can understand.
I know. And that isolating feeling of that. And for me, when you were saying that, I kind of was getting this image of being back in that place and actually waiting for my husband to come home in a rocking chair and sort of this like cloud or like sort of suffocating feeling. You know, I would be counting down the minutes until he walked in, and I wanted to be able to say all of the things.
Yes. Yeah. How was your day?
Yeah. And mostly it was me just crying.
Yeah.
Welcome home.
Yeah. Yeah. And then not really being able to understand like why I was crying for me or like why there seemed to be just no end to that sadness.
Yes. And that it felt like it was never ending. And also in our experience, and no diss on my husband, he would say things like, but you really wanted a baby.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I hear that a lot in the support groups that I run and with the moms I've worked with over time.
Yeah.
And not just from partners saying it, but from everyone. Yeah. Like, you know, why are you so sad?
You enjoy
why
this?
Can't you? Why?
Yeah.
And so that would kind of hit me down.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And alone. And, you know, like you mentioned the village earlier, and modern motherhood is really hard. We're all like stuck in these little silos, kind of like quietly like waving a flag or trying to raise the flag and say, someone please help me.
Totally. That's a good analogy. That is how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the flag is so heavy that sometimes you can't get it up there or no one's available to see it.
Yeah.
So the postpartum doula piece is really important. And actually, that was the beginning of the fuel for my fire with Roots. I didn't really know it at the time, but as Roots was kind of coming together with a lot of things that were happening in the community and lots of conversations that were happening, I was still practicing as a postpartum doula. I was also working as a Montessori preschool teacher raising a little one too, but when we were imagining Roots, the thing that I envisioned was being able to provide postpartum doula care for our community. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is we're 6 years into our organization and we're going to do it.
Yes.
So it's pretty amazing. It's taken a long time to get to this place. We got some funding from the Montana Healthcare Foundation.
That's amazing.
For planning.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It's amazing. So what will that look like?
So what that looks like is hopefully in 2024, we'll run a pilot project between 10 and 15 families from our community that are referred by a physician. Lots of details to still be worked out. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing advisory committee who's helping to guide this work. But essentially, 10 to 15 families will be paired with a postpartum doula who has professional training and additional training through Roots. And they will get 8 weeks of postpartum doula care.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the vision is that we will be able to provide that service for the greater community after doing some data collection and research.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't think that data will be hard to, to show results that are really, really supportive of that being a need.
Yeah, because can you imagine like having someone come to your home that you didn't have to ask to come? Someone that was just paired with you and your circumstances.
Yes.
Who would show up twice a week and would listen to you, would sit with you, would water your plants, would do your laundry, make sure you had food, make sure you were getting enough water.
It's so huge.
It's huge. It's huge.
The ramifications of that, not only in that short term, really intense time, but long term are like huge.
Yes. The long term benefits are, I mean, we'd need a whole podcast to talk about them.
Honestly, I know.
And there's so many components to it, like the food and like the doulas being able to provide like healthy, nutritious food.
Totally.
It's just amazing. Like it's everything amazing about it, I feel like we are changing the community here and like changing families, children, generations, the world, really.
I think so too. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask is, are there other places where this is already happening that you guys were able to draw upon?
Well, we've been drawing upon the group in Kalispell, the postpartum resource group.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know a lot of the details of that other than they have shared operations manual with us just to kind of like see how they're working. It is a little bit of a different project, but similar. Mm-hmm. And we've also been looking at other states, kind of looking at like funding opportunities.
Yeah.
That will be the biggest hurdle for us. And I hope at some point, although it's a huge mountain to climb, that we'll be able to work with insurance like down the road.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. That's so exciting.
It is exciting.
And even just the feeling of like, this is kind of a weak comparison, but my parents, you know, I grew up in Kalispell. My mom and stepdad were there. My mom is a huge support to me. But like I would have to drive, you know, when we were in Missoula 2.5 hours, when we moved to Helena 3.5 hours to like go and like have rest, you know, like get there. The babies would scream the whole drive. I would get there, hand them to my mom and go to bed like for the weekend.
Yes.
And wake up like just when people needed me. They just moved. My kids are 10 and 8 now, and they just moved in August. And now that I'm a co-parent, so I'm single momming, you know, every other week, just even knowing that they're in town and that like there's someone there that if I'm like having a totally hard day or like things are out of control or I need one of my kids to go one place, like just even having that mental reassurance that like, it's going to be okay because you're not doing this alone anymore.
Yes.
It's taken me like months to even be able to accept that as a reality.
Yeah.
But just that. And when you think about that kind of support and care in those early days, like the feeling of waking up and feeling like there's no way, like there's an insurmountable things for me to do today. But like, if you woke up and were like, oh yeah, but someone's going to come help me.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. What a relief.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought that up because that feeling that there's something out there to support me is what we've always hoped for Roots. We want people to come here and participate in our programs and engage with the resource guide and come to Moms Like Me and all of that. And what we hear from folks is, just knowing that Roots is here, knowing that there's a place that I can go or I can call, makes me feel less alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling gives me the support that I need to keep going.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting because some folks will say like, I've been wanting to come to Roots, a program at Roots for 9 months, and I just haven't made it for whatever reason because parenting and life. And I felt good knowing that you were here.
That it exists.
That it exists.
Because it also makes you feel like if there are support groups for this, then people must need support.
People need it.
And it's not just you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's huge. Okay. So that leads me to a thing I wanted to talk about because feeling that way, feeling like there's a whole group of people that are working on behalf of supporting moms and new parents and families in this very intense time, that in and of itself is reassuring, like we were just talking about. You have one of the most robust boards for Roots that I've ever seen. Like, I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. So how did you gather all of these people to help you?
That's so great. I love hearing you say that. Our board is awesome.
I know, and that's so lucky.
You know, Because people care and people believe in supporting moms and families. It's not a new thing. Didn't have to sell it that hard. I will say Roots worked really hard in the early days to create really strong relationships with providers because we knew that we would get nowhere as an organization if providers didn't trust what we were doing, because providers are the folks that moms and dads are looking to when they're moving through this stage. And so it was really important to us to reach the people who were reaching the moms and the dads. And so we worked really hard at that in creating relationships, and we feel really proud about that. We're actually, some of our board members are stepping down or stepping over, I should say. Some of our current members are stepping into our advisory committee for the doula work, because that's where they fit better with their expertise and time. And we're bringing on some new board members. But it's really cool because when, as a 6-year-old organization, looking back over the evolution of what's happened here, in the beginning, it was like, you know, we were taking people to coffee and we were explaining what we do and really being mindful and thoughtful and intentional about the relationships that we created. And I'm not saying that we don't still do that, but we've come to a point where people are reaching out to us and saying, are there opportunities? Because I want to give back.
That's
I had this experience, or this is my place of work. This is what I do. And I want to be part of this because... it's not just, it's not just a nonprofit organization. It's like, it's a movement. And the cool thing about Roots that's different than an organization that's been around for 30 plus years is we are grassroots. And we follow the rules, right? But we also like don't have everything set in stone. Like this is the way we do it here. We are learning as we grow and trying to meet the needs of the community where they are and where we are. And that has been a really beautiful thing, not just with our board of directors, our programs, our volunteers. When people are coming to us asking about potential opportunities or offerings for families, a lot of times we get to say yes because we can. And that has been a difference. And I've talked to a lot of folks who are interested in things like Roots in Montana and other places in Florida, and there are some barriers, and I feel like what we have done well here, and we haven't always done things perfectly or right, you know, we've just done it. We've just tried it. And the resource guide was that, and that was really started because of Melissa Bangs and her work with playing Monopoly with God and and getting us together for the first time, and then kind of like lighting another match under me. And then we were just like, screw it. Like, we just have to do something. We can't just sit here and wait for like the right thing and the right strategic plan and
It's one of those things that like, if this doesn't exist, then we can't be hung up on what perfect looks like, because something needs to exist.
So and that's where we started.
And you, and I don't, we don't need to go into great detail about this, but you, this also began because there was a really difficult occurrence in Bozeman in the community that happened. And the only reason I bring that up is I think that that happened like within your community, which is a smaller space than this national conversation that's suddenly been sparked. Because people are starting, I think, really starting to have to look at what postpartum psychosis looks like and what to look for. And it used to be, I think, sort of this thing that was like, oh, that's so rare. Like, that's like, that won't happen. And now... and now people are taking it more seriously. And so I don't know. I guess I just want your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, that, so that was a huge player in just lighting the fire and just people saying like, enough is enough. Like we cannot just sit here on our hands anymore. Like moms are dying. Babies are dying. This is not okay. And because this is a small community and a really wonderful, generous, giving community, people stepped up. So I think Melissa had come to Bozeman in the maybe the winter of 2015. And then in March of 2016, a mother took her life and her husband and her baby here. It shook this community really hard.
Yeah.
You have goosebumps, so do I.
Of course.
Yeah. And out of that loss came a beautiful uprising of local moms who said, no more. Like, we're going to do something. We're going to speak out. Mm-hmm. And because of Melissa's inspiration of getting up and sharing her real story of postpartum psychosis, we felt like we could do it too.
Yeah.
And that was, it was amazing. And it has rippled out. And the moms who came together after that, I think we came together for the first time in May or June of 2016. We met in Cold Smoke Coffee House. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we're going to do something about this.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is, but we're going to do something. Yeah. And we put together a committee because we love committees.
Yes.
And Roots didn't exist at the time.
Yeah.
Roots was kind of swirling around like inside of me and some other folks, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a formal thing yet. And we created the first Moms Like Me with, I think there were probably 8, if not more, other dedicated moms who were like, something has to change.
Yeah. And when we talk about Melissa Bangs, like, I feel like she comes up in every other episode. So if listeners aren't familiar yet,
please
look up Playing Monopoly with God and familiarize yourself. But she came to Bozeman for a storytelling workshop. I think I told you this. And I was there and it was Molly Carol May kind of hosted it. And that day changed me. And I think that if there's one thing that like is for sure an outcome of Melissa sharing her story is it did, like she said, it unlocked so many stories mm-hmm. that needed to be shared that had been locked up for so long in mm-hmm. so many women. Mm-hmm. And that day, like I remember driving home to Missoula and just feeling like I wasn't the same person as when I drove to go into that workshop.
Yeah.
It was so, like, I still get emotional. It was just, it was so moving and comforting and inspiring. And there were moms from all different mm-hmm. kinds of backgrounds, just bearing their souls mm-hmm. to a group of people they'd never met.
Yeah.
And so it's no surprise to me that like Mella doing that then caused this chain reaction of other events popping up. And like, I hope that they continue to, but will you talk about the beginning and a little more detail about what Moms Like Me is and like what has changed from the first one to now?
Oh my gosh. Moms Like Me. So awesome. So we're in our 7th
year. Oh, you guys can't see Suzanne, but her whole like being just lit up. Yeah.
We're in our 7th year and it's been incredible to be a part of. From the very beginning, I was part of that initial, we called ourselves the Maternal Mental Health Collective, mm-hmm. group of local moms. And I was part of that planning committee for that year and also got my arm twisted to be a storyteller the first mm-hmm. year because we were like, okay, we had planned this event. And because Melissa had shared or unlocked all of this in us, we were like, we could do this. We could invite moms to tell their stories. And then we started like asking people to tell their stories here. And they were like, hell no, like I'm not going to get up on stage and do that. And so we kind of looked around the committee table and we were like,
we have to do it. we have to show that it's possible.
So I, along with 2 others, Rebecca and Mandy, were the first storytellers, and we worked with Molly May. Mm-hmm. She knows this. She changed the course of my life in doing that work together. And since then, she has changed the course of so many of the moms, many or the moms who've been storytellers, but also the moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas who've been in the audience at Moms Like Me.
Yeah.
So Moms Like Me started in, let's see, what was that, 2017? Yeah, 2017 was our first year. We did it at Pilgrim Church. Mm-hmm. And we had it was the only
Let's
place
just take a second to acknowledge irony of even that name. Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh. Because Pilgrim Church was the only place that would offer it to us for free.
Yeah.
And they're incredible.
Yeah.
and we hosted there for 2 years. And so Moms Like Me started as a dynamic event. So it was storytelling and a panel of professionals who were working in the stage.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because at the time, people didn't know what folks were doing in the community, yeah, and providers didn't know one another. So part of the initial objective of that maternal mental health collective was to get providers,
yeah,
to recognize that they were working alongside each other, even when they didn't know each other.
Yeah,
and they could do that more.
Yes.
So we started with a couple storytellers, panel of professionals, and we did that for several years. So we moved from Pilgrim Church to the Rialto,
oh,
downtown Bozeman.
Hey.
Hey, I know. And so 2019 and 2020, we were at the Rialto.
Yeah.
And we actually hosted Moms Like Me, I think was March 8th, 2020.
Yeah.
It was the last large gathering that anyone I knew went to before COVID shut us all down.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah, which was also really beautiful.
Totally.
Yeah. And then we moved into an outdoor event because we knew we couldn't stop Moms Like Me. Mm-hmm. We were like, well, we don't care. We will find a way to do this. Mm-hmm. And so we did it outside. And then last year, and it was beautiful outside, a totally different feeling.
Yeah.
And really beautiful. We incorporated a mom band over the years. And so moms who have been interested in sharing their story, not with words,
mm-hmm,
through music,
yeah,
have been a part of the event for the last few years. And it's been incredible.
That's so cool.
And then last year we were at the Elm.
Fancy.
It was huge. It was fancy. It was so fun. And
that's so cool.
We have food. It's free,
yeah,
and it's open to everyone. Yeah. This year we're going to be at the Ellen on Saturday, May 13th. I hope you'll come.
I'm coming.
To it.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
I tried to get Brie to cement it on the Brie calendar too, yeah, but she's in a nebulous time, so we'll see.
She said in a text that maybe she was going to come, so
yeah,
we'll try. We'll keep nudging her.
Yeah. I might just show up at her house and pick her up in my car.
Yeah, come. Yeah. It'll be so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, celebrating moms on Mother's Day weekend, it's a really beautiful event, really highlighting motherhood in all ways, in the range of human emotion.
Yeah.
It's a really thoughtful event. The committee who works on it works their tails off,
mm-hmm,
all year long, working on choosing the storytellers, coordinating that, coordinating the band, coordinating the food, coordinating our corporate sponsors, mm-hmm, who are incredible, mm-hmm, businesses who care about families and care about roots.
Yeah.
And they're volunteers.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And so it's really cool. Another interesting thing that came out of Moms Like Me, which was really a direct kind of line from Melissa's work, was we knew that after that first event that moms needed more spaces to share.
Yeah.
And so we started this group, which we call Reborn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like R-E, like semicolon, born, mm-hmm, like anything having to do with birth.
Yeah.
And we started hosting it once a month, and moms would come together and share their stories. And it became a more like informal place for folks who didn't necessarily want to or need to get on the community stage.
Yeah. That makes sense because some people really can't do that in any context, and let alone like one of the most vulnerable stories you'll probably ever tell. That's so cool.
Yeah.
How often does that meet?
So that meets once a month on Sunday evenings.
Cool.
Yeah. And this year we've been working with the local business, Farmer's Daughters Cafe.
Cool.
They've been hosting us, which is a really nice place to get out and come to. And
yeah.
We sometimes have a guest speaker, which is a fellow parent who's willing to share their story of becoming and then open it up for discussion.
That's awesome.
It's a really beautiful space. So,
I bet.
Yeah.
You're making me want to move to Bozeman.
Yeah, come to Bozeman.
No, we just need this all going on everywhere.
I know. How can we make that happen?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
People ask me that all the time.
Yeah.
They're like, how can we have roots in more places?
I asked you that.
Yes.
Right, when we talked.
We can.
Yeah. We just need like a template that we can just place in everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the beauty of like Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies and Roots, like working together on that.
Yep. Stay tuned, everybody.
Statewide visionaries over here.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a lot about roots.
Yeah.
So if we could just move maybe a little bit more into, like, we talked about your early motherhood journey, mm-hmm. but can you talk about since that time? Like, I know because my kids are not babies anymore, but there's such a change that happens. And some days I feel like, oh, thank God it's not that time. And some days I'm like, this is just as hard. Mm-hmm. Like, we're still going through things. And although I've gotten a lot better at self-compassion and prioritizing rest and things like that, there are still times where I hear that those same things being like, you're so bad at this. Like, mm-hmm. you're screwing it up. Mm-hmm. Everyone by this point has this figured out. Like, it's a whole new script.
Yes.
But not new at all. So how, yes. let's talk about what it looks like as mm-hmm. our kids grow mm-hmm. to continue to get to these places of just like.
Yeah. Well, so my kids are 13 almost and 9. Mm-hmm. And that is part of my ticker tape. Like you said before, I can't do this. Why is this so hard for me? Those things still come forward a lot. And now they feel like they kind of just fall away a little bit mm-hmm. easier. But I will say that I get to be in support group like every single week.
Yeah.
And one thing that we talk about in our group, and our groups really are for new and expecting moms within the first year, but women need spaces to share how they're feeling forever.
Yeah.
And so as my kids get older, you know, I'm in connection with other mothers who are in similar stages mm-hmm. to me and have surrounded myself with people who feel safe to share when it's hard and when we feel like we're really fucking it up.
Yeah.
And giving ourselves some compassion.
Yeah.
Together.
Right.
I definitely don't have it figured out.
Yeah. I don't think that's a thing.
That's definitely not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Yeah. Cause I'm entering a new stage with my daughter who, you know, will technically be a teen mm-hmm. next month.
Yeah.
And I had a pretty hard relationship with my own mom.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has Alzheimer's now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just reflecting back on my life and being a daughter and watching my own mom and now saying some of the things that yeah. my mom once said yeah. to me.
Yeah.
They're just part of me.
Yeah.
I am trying to let go of a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And so I lost my dad a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. and my dad and I were very, very close. And it has offered me a lot of reflection on what's important in my life.
Yeah.
And as loss typically does. Mm-hmm. And I have found just some things about myself that I've known, but I would like to prioritize mm-hmm. more. And just like seeing my kids through a different lens
yeah.
now, you know, life is short
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I don't want to spend my time beating myself up for things that really aren't necessarily my fault.
Right.
And I think as a new mom, I sort of wish I could have heard that, like, the system that you're trying to do this in is broken. It's not you.
It's not your fault. Yeah.
It's not you, yeah. you know? And so I try to remind myself that,
mm-hmm.
and I say that a lot
yeah.
here and in working with moms, like, this isn't about just you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, raising two kids and working and doing all the things is not easy. People are like, oh, it'll get easier. Yes, it gets easier in some ways. And it's also like, I am now a chauffeur and
yeah.
And I have to like make more food because I have growing people who yeah. are like just hungrier and bigger and totally. Like their stuff is everywhere. Yeah. And
for sure. And they smell.
They do. They do. My son the other night, I'm like, what is that? That's your feet. Take a shower.
I know.
Because gone are the days when you're like, okay, the routine is we take a bath yeah. and we read a book. Yeah. And no. No. So now I'm like,
now I'm like, what's that smell? Oh, it's been four days. Like, that's kind of on me.
I know.
But like, do you not smell it?
But so I've been wondering that. Is it on us?
You're right.
Is it? Because I've been like, my son for sure definitely does not want to take a shower. It's not that he doesn't want to. It's just like not
right
in his awareness. I'm like, did I fail as a mom? Mm-hmm. Like, my kid's going to be that kid.
Yeah.
You know, the smelly one.
I know. I say that. I'm like, you don't want to be the smelly kid. Get in the shower. And no, then I'm like, that's not really a great way to teach this, but it is effective.
It is effective. Yeah. I have been thinking like, is that on me?
Yeah.
I was just telling him that we're going to have to maybe start like a shower schedule.
Right.
Because I don't have...
Like a sticker chart. We're back to sticker charts.
Back to sticker charts. I don't really have more brain space.
Totally. To keep track of people's showers. I hear you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the main thing now with kids these ages is constantly asking yourself, is this on me or do I need to let this be on them so that they'll learn how to care for themselves?
Yes.
And it's like, but first do I have to teach them how to care for themselves? Or like, at what point are you ever going to get tired of tripping over stuff in your room? Mm-mm. You're not?
No, probably not.
I know. So I'm just like, dang, dude, I can't. It's a hazard to me at this point. But that's the thing. I think the biggest dilemma for me at this time is like, whose job is it to get you ready for what?
At what point? I mean, your kids are basically the same age as mine. Yeah. My daughter's in seventh grade. And I'm like, we've been doing the same thing, like getting up to go to school like every day. I need you to actually start looking at the clock instead of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like kind of yelling or nagging, because I don't want to do that in the morning. That doesn't feel good to me either.
Right.
It doesn't feel good to anyone.
No, totally.
So, but yeah, I also, I keep thinking like, well, what kind of role model have I been? Like,
yeah.
And especially with the showering.
That's not a fun question when it starts becoming more obvious what kind of a role model you've been, because all your years of role modeling are suddenly playing out in front of you and you're like,
oh, yes.
I see now what you've been seeing because it's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stings, but is also really
revealing. Well, that's been like, yes, it stings, it's revealing, and it's important. I mean, what's that like the cheesy saying? Like, kids are our mirrors or our best teachers or whatever.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my kids have thrown me back in my face a lot of times.
Yeah.
In a really important way, which I don't often want to hear.
Like, sarcasm from your kids is the worst. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, good usage.
Yeah.
I'm glad we understand what sarcasm is. Mm-hmm. And okay, maybe we need to keep an eye on that because it doesn't feel good.
Or like door slamming or.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that I probably think are like my negative traits. Mm-hmm. If there are such a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh God, I passed that down. Yeah. I'm sorry. Totally. I was telling my husband the other night, I'm like, I'm really sorry. I passed down the like really blood sugar sensitive, not tantrumy, but like
the hangry
gene. Hangry gene. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. And then one last thing I'd like to touch on. Mm-hmm. Is you've been going through this journey of learning somatic experiencing. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what that's done both for Roots in terms of a new kind of approach and support and perspective for support groups and gatherings and when you're working one-on-one with moms and whatnot. And then also what it's been like for you as a mom and maybe going through the grief that you're experiencing now and teaching your kids that their bodies are talking to them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big twofold question, but
I've been super lucky and grateful to be part of the somatic experiencing training that I'm doing here in Bozeman. I got into it because one of our board members is a somatic experiencing practitioner and had been talking about it and kind of like throwing little bits around, like SE language over our relationship. And I got really interested in it. And she had mentioned that she felt like it could be really helpful for moms. Mm-hmm. And so I started the training here, and it has, well, first of all, it's changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone should have access to it.
I was going to say, I don't know anyone who's done somatic work that it hasn't really fundamentally changed their understanding of themselves and the world.
Yeah. And it's profound, and it's really powerful in really sneaky, small ways.
Yeah.
When you'd least expect it. And the knowing, and for me, the knowledge that I have around the nervous system and like my body's like physiological responses to what's happening in my world have been extremely helpful in my grief in the last few weeks in processing what happened for my dad and what happened for me being with him. So I was able to be with him in his last moments.
Yeah.
And just had a really beautiful SE conversation this morning, kind of like working through some of that.
Yeah.
But in terms of roots, I feel like because we are human animals, becoming a mother is a body experience. Like, it makes complete sense that this would be an important piece for mothers to have access to.
Yeah.
In this stage. And really, I think kids need to have access from an early age. We need to have language around what's happening for us internally.
Yeah.
And why
yeah.
that's happening for us. And that it's okay because yeah. it's our body
right.
doing that.
Right.
And I kind of sprinkle things into the groups that I run because I'm still in training and have been learning from others how to incorporate that into group work. So SE really does look at sort of the dance or the energy between the nervous system of the practitioner and the client or the group. And so in my case, it's quite challenging to track and notice what's happening in lots of different bodies.
Yeah.
And also being aware of what's happening in my body. And as you would imagine, in a group for new moms, there's a lot that can come up. And at Roots, we provide like a framework of safety in terms of explicitly stating that the range of human emotion and experience is welcome here. And so we laugh and we cry and things feel activating or agitating. We try to kind of settle those things down, knowing that they're okay and giving moms the language to know that what they're experiencing is part of who they are.
Yeah.
And we're really lucky in Bozeman because we have a lot of incredible SEPs here, some who work primarily with moms. And I honestly think every mom should have access to that.
Yeah.
Because trauma is stored in the body, and having birth, I mean, I don't know. Some people say it's like, it is physiologically traumatic.
Yeah.
It can bring up lots of things from our past. And so I found it really useful in my groups, and I find it really useful for myself. And when I feel more regulated, I feel better as a parent and I also get dysregulated. And before you came in, I was like feeling like I couldn't feel my legs and was having a pretty intense experience. And then
have that effect on me.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't you.
Yeah. No.
But being able to like talk myself, talk myself out of it, but understand what was really happening was helpful.
Yeah. It takes away a lot of the anxiety that comes up when we experience self-blame, when we don't have the ability to separate what's happening, what our bodies are doing because they're trying to protect us versus just a flaw in us.
Yes.
That's acting out.
Exactly. And I think that's so helpful for new moms feeling that. It's like, I'm not choosing this.
Right.
Right. And that for me is really powerful. I'm not choosing to have this like anxious, tight, fiery feeling in my chest. And I can tell myself like, it's okay. There's nothing here to be scared of. We're right here. We're right now.
Yeah.
We're talking.
Yeah.
We're in the interview.
So. Yeah. 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 And I think there's also when we're in a state of overwhelm, which most new mothers are.
Yes.
The go-to response is to dissociate, right?
Yes.
So then that kind of became for me, like with breastfeeding challenges and pain and different things that came up, and then even like healing from a cesarean, like all the things, like I checked the F out for a long
time
from my body. Like I was gonzo. And when I look back at that time, I had no understanding that that wasn't my bad.
Yeah.
You know,
your body was protecting you.
Yeah.
I do feel like the level of compassion that offers is huge.
Yeah.
And when you can sit with a mom and share that, the weight, you can see the weight lift off of her.
Totally.
Yeah. In a group yesterday, a mom was sharing something and she was shaking her leg. She was tapping her foot, tapping. Mm-hmm. And she started to share. We started to talk. She started to feel her body. And then you could see her go.
Yeah.
Really cool.
It is cool.
Because I mean, I'm still learning so much about it.
Yeah.
I mean, people spend like years and years and years learning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like scratching the surface right now.
Yeah.
But it's so cool.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool. Well, I think that that's a good spot to end.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
me. And we'll put all kinds of little show notes about the event that we mentioned, Roots as a spot to go and check out what you all are doing. Awesome. Even if you're not in Bozeman, it can give some great ideas about other things that could happen.
Yes.
And just, I'm just so thankful that you took the time to be with us and share what you shared.
Yes. And I am so grateful that you came in person.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
It's so much better.
Yes. I know Zoom is, you know, important, and I really love the in-person stuff.
Yeah. So when it comes to these kinds of conversations, it's so much nicer to be able to like,
the connection is so great. So thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you. Thank you to our incredible editor and producer, Brooke Boone Miller, for sharing her gifts with us. She's a mom and she gets it. And for that, we are so grateful. If you are seeking supportive parenting resources, please visit hmhb-lifts.org, an online guide meant to connect Montana families to services and programs throughout the state. It's okay not to be okay. Help is within reach, and you don't have to go this alone. We promise. And if Mother Love speaks to you as much as we hope it does, please consider supporting this project by subscribing to the podcast, sharing it with your network, and or writing us a quick review. We are passionate about getting these stories out into the world, and we need you to help us spread the word. Oh, and just one more thing. We know a lot of moms who are really fired up about creating change in the maternal healthcare world. If you feel inspired to make a donation to this movement, please go to hmhb-mt.org/donate or click the link in the show notes. Even just a $5 or $10 donation can make a huge difference. Imagine a future where mothers and caregivers feel supported, seen, and heard as they carry out the most important work of their lives.